From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour will be made tomorrow when Wednesday turns to Thursday and February arrives. That's because January 31st marks the certification deadline for licensed handgun owners in New York State. It's part of the SAFE Act legislation. And as of last week, the Monroe County Clerk's Office reported that there were tens of thousands of handgun owners in Monroe County yet to recertify. When many gun owners first received their permits, there was no law in place mandating recertification. The idea was pretty simple. Keep a clean record, stay out of trouble, and you can keep your guns, no more questions asked. That did change with the SAFE Act. And maybe it seems simple to you. Okay, laws change, why not just comply and recertify? Can't take that long to register, right? But some gun owners feel that this is another example of Governor Andrew Cuomo stretching the law too far in gun control. And here in western New York, Monroe County Clerk Adam Bellow has been working with Sheriff Todd Baxter, among others, to educate the public on this issue. They've been praised by some gun owners for trying to get out in front of the situation and for tamping down fears of gun confiscation. We'll talk a little bit about that this hour. But still, not all gun owners agree on recertification. So let's talk about the law, how it works, the deadlines, who it affects, and why. My guests include Adam Bellow, Monroe County Clerk. Welcome back to the program, Clerk Bellow.
Good afternoon, Evan. How are you?
Very good. And Don Smith is here. Don's a board member at large for SCOPE. And that's, Don, I think that's the Shooters Committee on Political Education. Did I remember that correctly?
That's correct, Evan. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Adam, let's start with you here, because I think the article that I will reference a couple times this hour from Dave Andriotta in the Democrat and Chronicle sparked a little bit of feedback from the public in a lot of different directions. And let's just talk about some of the numbers here. You got a deadline tomorrow. How many people are impacted, and what is the update on that?
Well, the deadline tomorrow really impacts individuals in Monroe County who had a pistol permit issued prior to January 15th, 2013. So going back all the way to the, you know, when pistol permits were first issued decades ago. And essentially what the law said was starting with that group of individuals, they had till the end of this month, so tomorrow, to recertify their information with the New York State Police. That impact, you know, how many people have done it so far? We checked in this morning with the state police, just to get an update. They have processed just over 29,000 recertifications from Monroe County residents. And that's both on, that's mostly the online recertifications. Doesn't account for any paper forms that they would have received probably in the last several weeks or even the last couple months. I know they're behind in processing paper forms. So far they've processed that many. How many people it impacts is a good question. We have in Monroe County about 79,000 files that predate 2013. Of those, because we keep them as paper files, of those, we estimate it's about 50 to 60,000 are still real good files. People who are still alive, they still live in Monroe County. And we base that based on just, you know, our daily use of the files and how people are coming in. So of the 50 to 60,000 people, we've had about 29,000 recertified to date.
29,000 recertified. So that leaves, again, 20 to 30,000.
Yeah, it's a big number who still hasn't. Part of you know, the way the state police had kicked off this program, if you go back a year ago, was they notified about 37,000 Monroe County residents of this new program. So they had good contact information and the ability to mail to about 37,000 to let them know about the recertification, let them know about the new requirement, and to give them the information they needed, such as the address, the web address, the form, things like that to do it. The problem that we've been running into is that, you know, that was a year ago. So if a lot of folks didn't do it right away, they've forgotten about it. And the other problem we've run into is that was 37,000 people, but we have more like 50,000 in Monroe County that have a pistol permit. So, you know, closing that gap and trying to educate people and get the information out there, we realized right away last year was critical, especially when we had learned that the number was only 37,000. We knew right away we need to get this information out there more.
How long does it take to do it?
It depends on how many firearms you have, but generally it takes less than 5 minutes to recertify.
Okay. And yeah. Most people are doing it online?
The vast majority of people are doing it online. Yeah, it's pretty simple. If you have your pistol permit in front of you, it has your carry number, your issue date. You need your the list of your firearms with the serial numbers. Your New York State ID, so you need your driver's license or non-driver ID, and the last four digits of your Social Security number. With that information, you log on. You go to a web form and you just plug in all that information, hit submit, and you're recertified.
Where to go online?
All right. So to go online, you just go to the New York State Troopers website. It's at troopers.ny.gov. From there, you just click the links to recertify. There's a link right there that says recertify pistol permits. We've linked to it from our website as well. We're at monroecounty.gov. Click on the county clerk's office, and we've linked to that as well. There's also a paper form. You could download the paper form and just fill it out if you're more comfortable with that. You know, with the deadline being tomorrow, though, I would urge, if you have a pre-2013 permit and have yet to do so, I would go online and fill that out.
Okay. Don, as a board member at large for Scope, you know, there are some gun owners who have told reporters, told us, told the Democrat and Chronicle, I'm sure Adam has heard from some people, that they just didn't know. But others have said, you know, they don't sort of like this process. They think, again, it's part of the SAFE Act, that SAFE Act is not popular among many gun owners. Where do you come down on this?
Well, it's certainly not popular amongst Scope members, no doubt about that. And I would carry that over to members of New York State Rifle and Pistol, of which I'm a member. I'm a life member of the NRA and also a life member of GOA. And I would say that all gun owners feel that this is an intrusion upon their rights. There's many failings in the SAFE Act. And in fact, I've written a paper on it. I'll share it with you. I'll leave it with you, Evan. It will point out a number of failings with respect to each portion of the SAFE Act. Understand that the SAFE Act itself was not a law, a singular law. It was actually a set of amendments to existing laws, such as the penal code, business law, mental health law, etc. These amendments were thrown together rather hurriedly, I'm afraid. Input was not provided by the public, nor by law enforcement, nor by those individuals in the areas in which we as citizens are impacted. Example, for example, the mental health law. A provision of the SAFE Act, 9.46, essentially changed the manner in which an individual who is seeking mental health treatment is reported to the state. Okay? And it took away a very important criterion that had been in the mental health law for years. And that was the criterion of imminent danger. Now, if you look at any of the prior mental health sections, 9.39, 9.41, etc., if a medical provider, a doctor, and by the way, according to the SAFE Act, there are four categories of these medical providers, psychiatrist or psychologist, a physician, a RN, or a licensed social worker. Any individual in this category had the right, prior to the passage of the SAFE Act, if they felt that they were dealing with a patient and they were concerned for the safety of that patient or perhaps someone that the patient knew. And, by the way, the second criterion always had to be applied, and that was imminent danger. That medical provider could contact law enforcement. Law enforcement could remove that individual, take them to a mental hospital, etc., for evaluation. What the SAFE Act did by adding to the mental health law, this provision 9.46, is they took out the second criterion.
Imminent danger.
Imminent danger. So therefore, if you're a medical provider and you're interviewing me and you feel that there's a likelihood that I might be dangerous to myself or someone else, you can contact the state, basically turn me in through a system they've developed called the ISAR system. And by the way, the state had no way of doing that. It was through the New York Psychiatric Association and other medical providers that this system was put in place. The state really was behind the ball. But the fact is, Dr. Glenn Martin, who was, by the way, the former president of the New York Psychiatric Association, has come out and said quite pointedly that we, as medical providers, do not use likelihood to determine the necessity of removing guns from an individual. No, we don't have crystal balls, and therefore this law is unfair.
Overbroad in giving power to remove firearms?
Very overbroad.
So, Don, let me just interrupt for a second, because I have no problem having a conversation on the broader SAFE Act, and that's certainly fine. I want to at least start, though, with the question of recertification. Have you recertified your firearms?
I am mailing my form in today. In my vehicle, ready to go.
Are you comfortable with doing that?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sending mine, as I've asked others to do, by a certified mail. Mm-hmm. That confirms that I mailed it and it was received.
So,
not a problem.
So what do you think of the criticism that some have regarding doing this at all? And let me go ahead and I'll read from Dave Andreatta's column on this issue. He writes, quote, "A lot of pistol permit holders say they're good guys with guns. After all, they reason it's by keeping their noses clean that they've held on to their permits and their guns. Why, then, have so many of them not recertified their permits under the New York SAFE Act? The answer is some of them are thumbing their otherwise clean noses at the law. Well, guess what, holdouts? Laws change, and there aren't always grandfather provisions. New Yorkers who became adults in 1982 suddenly saw the drinking age rise from 18 to 19. Those who turned 19 in 1985 saw the age rise again that year to 21. The SAFE Act is the law. It's been the law for 5 years. The recertification process is an opportunity for pistol permit holders to prove that they are the law-abiding good guys with the guns they claim to be," end quote. Is that fair?
It is. First of all, it's his interpretation that it's a good law, not mine.
I think he's just saying it is the law.
But, you know, people will take that away and think of it perhaps as a good law. Many do. He did indicate in the article that, for example, someone like myself was flouting the law by not turning in my recertification form 8 months ago. Okay? I disagree with that. There's a deadline. It does not matter when I meet that deadline. The fact of the matter is, and I think Adam is aware of this, many people are not. We'll determine this in a moment. The state came out, and I'll read this if I may, because this is a letter that I received from the state police. Although, by the way, many did not. If your license was issued before January 15th, 2013, now get this, before January 15th, 2013, the deadline to submit your recertification is January 31st, 2018. State made a big mistake here. Why? Next sentence. If your license was issued on or after January 15th, 2013, on or after January 15th, 2013, the deadline to recertify is, quote unquote, 5 years after the date the license was issued. Guess what? Anyone that had a license issued January 15th of 2013, and if they did not recertify by January 15th of 2018, they missed their deadline. There's 16 days in there from the 15th of January 2013 through the 31st of January 30.
But nobody's going to jail for that, right?
I
mean,
I don't know.
I do not drive 35 down Lake Avenue. Police, listen, I routinely go about 43. I haven't been pulled over yet. I mean, isn't this a case where, okay, technically they missed the deadline, they're probably not going to face the penalty?
That's not the point.
Okay.
The state messed up. They should have set January 31st of 2013.
Okay.
What they wanted to do was make a big deal, a big issue out of the passage of the SAFE Act, in my opinion, but that's only my opinion. They messed up because there were 16 days in there in which individuals most likely will have not met the deadline.
So, Don, let me ask you, and then we'll ask Clerk Bellow the same thing here.
Yes.
What do you think is going to be the result for people who do not recertify their firearms?
I do not know, because the state hasn't told us.
Well,
I know what the state has told us will happen, could happen. Let's put it that way. The state can take away our pistol permit. The state can take away our permitted handguns, by the way, but they can also take away our unpermitted long guns, which would be shotguns, 22s, etc., rifles. Why, I do not know, but they said they can do that. And correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, but there's a possibility that you could be charged with a felony.
Yeah, well, can you be charged? Not to my knowledge, no. I've heard that out there. My understanding, I think where that comes from, and I can only guess, I think where that idea you could be charged with a felony comes from is because if your permit is revoked and you no longer have a pistol permit, but you're still carrying firearms that are then technically unpermitted firearms, then you would be committing a crime. But the but what that goes back to, though, is when and how does a permit get revoked? And that, you know, and that was an open question that county clerks have been dealing with going back a year ago. When I first started as a clerk almost 2 years ago, we were asking a lot of questions about this because the law says essentially that a failure to recertify would result in the revocation of the permit. But what we've done here locally is working with the other regional clerks, the sheriffs, and the chief judge of our region have insisted that there be a level of due process involved so that when the switch is flipped tomorrow night and it turns into February 1st, anybody who didn't recertify by that deadline, at least here in our region in Monroe County, isn't suddenly a felon or anything like that. But it would trigger at some point a judicial process, though, where there'd be a notification or something of that nature. But it wouldn't result in a mass confiscation of firearms or anything like that in our region. So there won't be anything like that. And it was great to hear our Sheriff Todd Baxter last week. We've done a number of public informational sessions about this to answer questions, and to hear from him as well that, you know, that's not what the Sheriff's Department's going to do. We had a Chief Simonelli out here. The police aren't going to do that either. And part of the reason why, too, to back up, when you said how many people in Monroe County have recertified, and I told you 29,000. You know, they haven't even processed most of the paper forms that have sent in. And Don, even you yourself, you mail it today, they're not going to have it entered and all the information.
But nobody's coming after Don, are they?
They're not, no. No, what'll happen is at some point here, what we've been told is that at some point in the future, once all of the forms are processed by the state, and this could be months, I mean, that, you know, they're getting thousands and thousands of these forms, and I know they have stacks of them. You know, at some point, they're going to go through and they're going to start notifying us, and they already have. You know, we go back last year, our office was in regular contact with the state police where individuals were recertifying their information and it didn't match what the state police thought they had. Most of it came to address changes, so folks were recertifying with an address that didn't match the permit that they had on file, and so they'd reach out to us. They'd ask our staff and our clerks, you know, what do you have in Monroe County for this address? Did this person give you an address change? And if they didn't, and the addresses didn't match, the state police then followed up with that individual. So there has already been rectifying the differences and reconciling the differences between the files. But my guess is that process is going to take months and months and months. And so at some point, we're going to be given a list. And again, I'm not sure what that list looks like. So it's hard to tell you what the clerk does next because I don't know, is the list going to be everyone who did recertify? Is the list everybody who didn't recertify? What is that? And then working out a process with the local judiciary to figure out how do we then notify individuals? How do we, there's going to be an investigation done on each file. Not a criminal investigation, but the investigation that I'm talking about is, you know, like I said, we had 79,000 files that predate 2013. Of those 79,000 files, I know we have 30,000 to date. We're missing 40,000 people. Well, a good number of those people are no longer with us. They've passed away since then. They moved across the country. So somebody's going to have to look through those files and figure that out. You know, we haven't worked out. We're not even close to figuring out what that process looks like because we don't know what the list is going to look like that we get back from the state.
But I want to hit a point that Adam just mentioned and turn to Don Smith, who is here with us as a board member at large for SCOPE. And that's, Adam mentioned what Sheriff Baxter had to say last week. I'll go ahead and quote him from the Democrat and Chronicle. The sheriff said, quote, "We won't know for a very long time who failed to recertify. Then someone is going to have to remind those people they need to recertify. The last thing I'm going to be doing as sheriff is taking guns from people's houses," end quote. Just lines right. exactly. I mean, do you know anybody who views this as a confiscation open door?
No, nobody on the government side, no. I mean, I've talked to individuals who fear that that's where this is going, but nobody in law enforcement, clerks,
okay, because I have an email from a listener who thinks that this is all sort of a slippery slope toward confiscation. You've heard that from people?
Oh, sure, yeah. And, you know, I've heard that from individuals because, you know, this is an instance where the state is collecting information from individuals about their firearms. You know, this is information that the state has already collected throughout the years. I mean, part of the process here, which, you know, we talk a lot about is when you come to our office, you apply for a permit, you add a firearm, you remove a firearm, you change your name, your address, whatever, what have you. A copy of that gets kept in our files because we have the master file. That's what we keep in the clerk's office. A copy of that always goes to the state of New York. That's how they had the addresses to mail to people to begin with. So my guess is, and you know, what the state police have said, is that this is largely a record-keeping operation. It's an acknowledgement that the records that the state has are incomplete. And you know, as evidence of that is the fact that they only sent out 37,000 letters when we know there's got to be more people than that in Monroe County. There's at least 50,000 who have pistol permits. So, you know, it's evidence by what they sent out that they're missing information. So I think this is in large part a record-keeping operation, which is why they came out last week to indicate there's not going to be a criminal enforcement action or anything like that. This is really about working with people to try to get compliance with the law.
So is it you or your staff who will personally be removing guns from houses?
I will not be removing guns from any houses.
All right, so listen, we've had some people who feel this way, and I want to turn to Don Smith and ask you, you know, you've heard what the sheriff has to say. I know you've heard from some gun owners who feel like that part of the game plan here is eventual confiscation. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that some leaders in government would like to move us toward confiscation, Don?
I think, Evan, you need to look at the big picture here. Adam's correct in saying that there is a paper trail on every gun. For example, an FFL purchases a gun. He gets two slips of paper. One of those pieces of paper goes to the state police in New York State. Okay, so they have a record of all the guns that have literally been purchased or available for purchase in this state. However, the state has come out and they've announced this to their county clerks, and I believe perhaps more than one, Adam, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they want a pristine database. Mm-hmm. And if you will look at the statute itself, nowhere in that statute does it indicate that we are required to indicate our driver's license or driver ID. Nowhere. The legislators whom we elected passed a statute that excluded the driver's license as part of the recertification information.
But where are we going with
why
this?
Why does that appear on the recertification form? Here's the reason. And here's the scary part. Okay? I don't object to elected officials making decisions for us because we have an opportunity down the road to unelect them. Fair?
I think that's an accurate statement.
I call it term limits.
You actually sound like Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, who doesn't support actual term limits because she said the voters can always term limit you.
There's two sides to that coin, so okay. We won't go there.
Okay.
But here's the problem that I have, and many of us have in the gun world. We see this as the... sometimes an elephant or the camel in the tent, you know, gets the head in the tent, and then down the road, guess what? The entire camel is in the tent. And what you end up with is a state-operated gun registration system. And by the way, notice that we're talking about recertification here. I constantly correct people who say, I've got to register my guns. No, you're not. You're not registering anything. you are recertifying. And by the way, the state sent you an invitation to recertify, which in some people's minds means you really don't have to comply.
Okay, but still, where are you taking us down the road that you think confiscation is part of this?
I am. Confiscation cannot occur unless there is a registration system, unless the state has a system that identifies who we are and what guns we own. For example, in January of 2015, the state attempted to implement a database and a portion of the SAFE Act known as the ammo check, okay? Which meant if I went into a store and bought, say, a box of 20-gauge shells, that would be recorded by that FFL, that store owner, and that would end up going to a database kept by the state police. What does that tell the state police about me, other than the fact that I own one box of shells? It tells them I now own a 20-gauge shotgun. Now, some people are nervous about that. Does that mean I don't know. I don't know how far that could go, Evan, quite frankly. Does that indicate they're going to come down the road? No. I don't suspect any confiscation as a result of people not recertifying. In fact, I saw an article that was sent to me this morning. It came out of the Auburn paper, and basically what it's saying is that they're going to push this down the road. They're going to kick the can, which they've done in other portions of this, the ammo database being one, because they really want, the state really wants a clean database of gun owners and what they own. That's what they want. This paper trail is no good. Adam knows that. My own county clerk, Mike Jankowski, knows that. You know, they have people's records on 5x8 cards or 3x5 cards or whatever sitting in the back of offices, for heaven's sakes. The state would like, whether it takes 2 months or 8 months or 8 years, I think, in the back of my mind, that's what I'm thinking, the state wants a quote-unquote pristine database.
To do what with it?
I think they want to tie it in with our driver's license so that if, for example, you or I are stopped on the highway, that state trooper can simply go to his computer and identify you or I as a gun owner.
Is there something nefarious about that?
Well, I wonder about that because, to my knowledge, we haven't had any problems. And I wrote that up in the last firing lines for our scope. So,
Don, do you think if the officer who pulled over Philando Castile in Minnesota knew before he approached the car that based on license plate, based on information, that this is a man who's a registered legal gun owner, mm-hmm. and he ended up dying, by the way, after simply telling an officer, I got a firearm on me, I'm allowed to have it, and then 10 seconds later he's dead, do you think that that could actually prevent some interactions that get tense? If an officer approaches a car and says, hey, I know you happen to be a licensed firearm owner, do you have it in the car? Is that a bad thing?
That's a tough question, Evan, because I don't know how a police officer is affected by learning that a motorist they stopped has a pistol. Or a pistol permit,
We're in a society where there's lots of guns out there, and officers pull people over all the time, and they don't know if there are firearms. And training, I would hope, takes place in which officers are told the presence of a firearm doesn't mean that that person is going to shoot you. I would think.
And I think they're very careful in all of their stops. I would think so.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, officers, and this is not to malign police officers. Police officers are very well trained. And I think that they encounter firearms and vehicles probably all the time. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, those are incidents we never see reported on because there is no incident. I guess what I'm asking is, the part of our audience that doesn't own guns is going to hear what you're saying, and then they're going to say, so what? So what is the harm that you perceive? Because I do want to understand it. I'm not asking flippantly. I want to understand the harm.
Well, you know, one of the sad parts, I think, Evan, about this controversy over the SAFE Act is the focus on guns. Because it's truly not about guns or gun control. It's more about control. If we had time to discuss the other aspects of the SAFE Act other than recertification. For example, just taking the mental health aspect, the 9.46, what that has done already to citizens in this state and how it has removed their due process. That's really critical. The folks out there who do not own a gun should be concerned about their government's intrusion upon their rights. I'm talking civil and constitutional rights. And we have many, by the way, many members in SCOPE who do not own guns, but they are concerned about their civil and their constitutional rights. We could talk about the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, the 14th Amendment. We could talk about the fact that due process is not being offered or provided. We could talk about property that's being removed with no right to do so. We could talk about warrants not being utilized to remove that property. I could tell you stories. Okay? And people should shudder at some of these stories because, quite frankly, it could happen to them.
Okay. And so Don Smith, by the way, you're hearing, is a board member at large for SCOPE. I am late for a break. I've got some phone calls to take. Wendy, I'm going to come to you in a second. I've got a couple of emails to get to as well. Listeners, you want to call the program. If you've got questions, after our break, we'll remind you why we're here, because one of our listeners said, Evan, this is the first time hearing about recertification. What do I need to do? And that's part of Don's complaint. It's also part of why Adam Bello and Sheriff Baxter, among others, have been leading a public information campaign, letting you know there's a deadline tomorrow. But Adam, you want to respond to some of what you've heard? Go ahead.
Well, no, I really don't have a lot to offer to that. I mean, it's just more on my end. It's, they are asked, I really don't have a lot to offer what you just said. It's, whether or not it, you're talking about the future of why the law was put into place, if it's ultimately about confiscation, it's hard to look at, it's hard to get inside those kind of motives. I mean, all we know is what the state police and our interactions with them are, and it's just, it's about record. You are correct about that, Don. It is about creating a database. It's written right in there that the state police, that's why the law was passed, was to create a good database with information.
Don, go,
I will say
briefly,
one
go
thing.
Ahead.
I will say one thing, Evan. When you talk about confiscation, people get nervous when they're forced to register guns.
Right.
Because we know across this world, guns have been registered and subsequently confiscated. People have died. Governments have killed their own people.
During confiscation?
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah, right. But there's, I want you to at least understand the idea that this is a country that has the highest number of guns per capita among developed nations, and there's a big responsibility that comes with that, right? I mean, like, if you're not willing
Correct.
To have a certification of your gun, should you be allowed to have one?
Well, we've already jumped through several hoops just to obtain the permit to begin with, and that's critical. What we're doing, by the way, with this recertification, understand this. When you sign that recertification form, all you are doing is affirming that you are capable mentally, shall we say, that's critical, as well as physically, of continuing to possess those firearms. That's basically what this is all about. This is not a renewing of our license, by the way. In other words, we don't have to go out and get three individuals to vouch for us and contact the judge. This is just a affirmation by each of us that we feel we are capable of continuing to own those guns and maintain that license.
Okay, Adam?
Yeah, I think part of what you just said, Evan, to go back to, so why don't people just do it and why aren't people doing it? I think the real issue here is that a lot of folks just don't know about it. If you come to my office, if you stepped in my office over the last couple of weeks, the line has been out into the hallway every day, and it's incredibly unusual. I've been out there working with residents coming in. I've cleared my calendar. I'm out there every day working the floor because What we're finding is that particularly there's a lot of older folks who had their permits issued back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and they didn't receive a letter. They don't recall receiving a letter a year ago. And so they're just hearing about it now. They're seeing the news reports. They're hearing about it on the radio and programs like this. And they're saying, oh, no, what do I need to do? And so they're coming into our office, which is great. I'm happy to see everybody. We're helping people through the process. But it's really about educating people and letting them know that this is out there.
The deadline is tomorrow if your permit for a firearm is from January 2013 or earlier. In other words, if you've gotten it within the last 5 years, you haven't hit your deadline yet.
That's right. And that's right. So if you haven't, and that's what's important here, too, is the fact that this isn't a one and done. This isn't January 31st is the deadline and everything's over. It's a moving target. So in the sense that if you have a pistol permit that was issued in 2013, let's say it was June of 2013, you have till June of 2018. So you're recertifying this year. So this isn't the last just because tomorrow passes. It's not the last you're going to hear about it. We're going to have to continue talking about this for years to come, particularly because what you're faced here is with is a situation where the condition on holding the license has changed since you originally got the license. Like a driver's license, for instance, you know, you have to renew that every so many years. So you have to come, you have to affirmatively tell the state where you live and update your information. When you got a pistol permit back in the 70s or 80s, there was no condition like that. You do have to update your permit within 10 days if you move, just like your driver's license you do. But there was no mechanism to do that automatically like there is with a driver's license. So that's how the records fall back. That's how the information hasn't stayed up to date. So now that that condition has changed and a number of folks just weren't made aware of that change because they didn't get the letter, they're not following the news as closely, that's where we're running into problems. And that's why, you know, I am glad to hear from everyone involved that there will not be a mass confiscation of weapons or anything like that. I'm certainly not, as a county clerk, just revoking licenses in 2 days. I'm not doing that. There's nothing like that is happening.
But get online where to do it, Adam. Get online.
So go online. You go to the troopers.ny.gov. They have the recertification online there. You can go to my website, monroecounty.gov. We link to it. We also have a bank of computers in the clerk's office downtown at the county office building. You can recertify right there, too. We can help you. I'm generally in the computer bank myself, standing there helping folks recertify throughout the day. So we have lots of folks available.
All right. I'm way late for a break. Adam Bellows, Monroe County Clerk. Don Smith is board member at large for SCOPE, the Shooters Committee on Political Education. Just about every phone line's filled, and people want to have a little dialogue about this. So let's get that only break and come right back to your phone calls next. Coming up in our second hour, a new event designed to take refugees from a status of stranger to neighbor. Many Americans don't know about other customs and traditions, especially among refugee communities, and that could change in an upcoming cultural fair. We'll talk to the Brighton High School student who created the idea, along with some leaders in our community who are helping refugees. It's all next hour. All right, let's get to your phone calls. Wendy, go ahead, Wendy.
I'm glad to be speaking with Don. I share with him a healthy skepticism about government and notice the totalitarian tendencies that can come up and know we have to resist those. On the other hand, I don't think the guns we own are actually going to allow us in this day and age to resist the government in the way that the Second Amendment intended us to be able to. We basically all need shoulder-mounted missiles in order to resist the government. What we need is more respect for what our country is about and in balancing that freedom and order. As long as the military is on our side, which is one of the reasons I, among a very few of my friends, didn't think having an all-professional volunteer military was a good idea in the United States. I just don't think we have that ability to resist the government anymore. They've got weapons we can't resist. So the question is, how do we resist a totalitarian mentality across the country? And I think that's more of it. But my question for Don is, meanwhile, all of these guns that are in private hands are mostly being used on family members. And you know, and they may give people peace of mind. There, most people who own a gun never shoot it at anybody. But my question is, why, if the SAFE Act is so bad, do I see no signs saying reform the SAFE Act? Is there no form of legislation that would help us to decrease the violence from guns that is killing people who really shouldn't be killed? And that's my question for Don.
Wendy, thank you for the phone call. Go ahead, Don. We got to keep it tight. We got a lot of people to get to, but go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I think if you looked at the Pew Institute, PEW, and their records over the past 20 years, and by the way, this is a group that is not friendly to gun owners, nor guns. I think you'll find that their records will indicate that crime, particularly gun crime, gun homicides, have dropped over the past 20-some years. So there's a trend downward. The only unfortunate part is that there seems to be an uptick in mass shootings. We don't know why. But I would encourage you to look at the facts out there, because there are some fallacies, unfortunately.
Violent crime is on the way down in this country. That's true. But gun deaths and gun just shooting incidents are always higher where there are more guns, whatever the country is in. The more guns you have, the more shootings you have.
The cities that have the strictest gun laws are the ones that have the greatest number of homicides.
But the more guns you have, the more shootings you have. That's what the research shows.
Yeah, but these aren't law-abiding citizens necessarily that have the guns. The bad guys are always going to get the guns. The problem is, when you start restricting the law-abiding citizens, what you're doing is telling them they can't defend themselves. And therein lies the problem. And by the way, the bad guys with guns will gravitate toward those law-abiding citizens that don't have guns.
Okay, we're getting a little far afield. Mm-hmm. I want to get back to your phone calls. Bernard is next on the line. Go ahead, Bernard.
Yeah, my point is that I understand that you can worry about your quote-unquote rights, but I like to worry about my safety. And I think 80%, and that's probably a low number, of people that have guns don't really know how to handle guns, what to do with guns, and you have to consider the number of people that are killed with the guns. And I don't think it's a good statement to say, oh, well, the number of people that are dying by guns is falling. That's a good thing. So you can play your game worrying about being controlled. I'm going to worry about my safety. Thank you very much.
All right, Bernard, go ahead, Don.
Well, you know, we have about 30,000 deaths by guns in this country every year. However, about two-thirds of those are suicides. And when you take out those individuals that are killed perhaps by law enforcement officers and for reasons that, you know, maybe gang violence, who knows, you're down to about 5,000. And by the way, let's keep in mind that there are well over 200,000. I've seen figures between 200,000 and 400,000 deaths caused by medical errors in this country.
Let's stay on guns, though.
No, I understand, but people compare, they don't compare, that's the problem. They don't compare gun deaths with deaths caused in other venues or other reasons.
Well, they compare gun deaths caused by guns versus other countries that have fewer guns. They do that.
And there's absolutely no guarantee that you will not be shot and killed in a country that may have fewer guns.
Well, hopefully there is not a guarantee on just about anything. That's what freedom's about.
Absolutely.
But the numbers say it's a lot less likely.
That's true. But however, we just saw recently in Europe, we've seen other examples of it, automobiles used as a weapon.
All right, so let's not get far afield. Let's stay with this here. Here's a couple of comments that have just come in. Jim writes to us and says, Evan, as an interesting history note, the only reason New Yorkers have to have a permit for a pistol is that in 1911, a Tammany Hall politician named Tim Sullivan passed off a public safety issue regarding scary immigrants with guns in order to protect the Irish gangsters from the Italian gangsters. And he says 75% of the people arrested in the first year or two had Italian last names. And he says, I believe gun control in the state has been a scam since 1911. All the SAFE Act has been designed to do is harass and intimidate legal gun owners, and I will continue to believe this until someone can show me solid proof that the SAFE Act actually has an effect on crime. So that's from Jim. Let me read another one. This is from Bob James in Fairport. He says, Evan, I'm an old guy with a pistol permit issued back when in the early 1970s it showed the holder age rather than the date of birth. Other than withholding recertification, what is the alternative suggested way for us law-abiding citizens to most effectively speak out against the SAFE Act? What do you think, Don?
Go to the polls in November. Elect a new governor. Change your governor and keep your guns.
Yeah, that's a form of protest, isn't it, Adam Bello, if people don't like certain laws passed?
Sure. I mean, the laws are all passed by the state legislature and signed by the governor, so if you don't like it, sure.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. Let me get back to Dan and Webster on the phone. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi there. Just a couple quick points from someone who's not a gun owner and doesn't plan on ever being one. I think what Wendy said was so spot on. Second Amendment champions really need to take like a philosophical look at how the Second Amendment has been outmoded for quite some time. If they want to like continue, you know, going in the direction that they do with resisting tyranny, they need to like think about that. To go to the officer shooting thing, I would not be surprised if knowledge of gun ownership led to more officers shooting people, because I could see that seeing someone's a gun owner could heighten tension a bit, and then an officer also can't be assured that a person's being honest if they say, I don't have my gun on me, which means there could be a reason for fear, and we know what happens too often when police are fearful. Those who say that the government won't come for your guns are speculating just as much as those who say they will, probably more. And then I have a question, just because I'm still somehow unclear on this. What is the stated point of the recertification that's in the SAFE Act, and is it actually different from the pre-SAFE Act statutes? I still feel like I'm just a question mark on that.
All right, Dan, thank you. Adam Bello, Monroe County Clerk.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. I think the stated reason that they have for this is to create this database and have up-to-date records. The process for by which the state keeps their database, I don't believe, has changed how the counties are communicating with the state. None of that's different. We send them everything, and they keep that. I think the purpose behind the recertification is to get that database up to date, because there was a feeling at the state that they did not have all the right information, and to also make the records electronic, right? Like, you know, when we talked earlier, at least in the county clerk's office, you know, we have 79,000 records. A lot of those are paper files. Don alluded to his county and Wayne County. I know they keep them on index cards. We keep ours in books and in files. So I think one of the results of this is it's going to create an electronic list, an electronic database, and digitize a lot of these records. I think that's what a lot of this is. It's also going to give us an indication, like I said earlier, too, we don't know how many of these files, for a lack of a better term, are dead files. Folks who have passed away, they've moved, they no longer want to have a pistol permit and just are giving it up, whatever. So this process is also going to result in that as well, and us better understanding what's in the files.
All right, here's a note from Christina, who says she doesn't think it seems like Don is giving straight answers to questions asked. She says, all I hear is that Don is terrified of being tracked by the government and having them know he has guns. How is this any different than driver's licenses and voter registration? The government tracks you with that info clearly. Don?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I understand that. And that's still not an excuse for increasing the amount of tracking. For example, we've had a very good system in this state for many, many years, and that is the counties have kept track of our pistol permits. I can see the state developing a database and then saying to the counties, we're going to take this over. That's one of our fears. There's no reason to do that. We have a very good relationship in our counties with our county clerks, etc. Our county judges, our licensing agents, our sheriffs. We don't want to change that.
Okay. Yeah, and I, Evan, I'll jump in here too as well. I wouldn't want to see that changed either on the local level. We have a very good relationship with our pistol permit holders, with law enforcement, our local judges. And on an issue like this, I think local control it is better, because we're able to work with individuals right across the counter downtown when they do have problems with pistol permits. I'll give you a good example. Just yesterday, I was with a woman. She was, I think, about 86, 87 years old. Her husband was in the hospital, had a stroke last week, and he hadn't had a chance to recertify his pistol permit yet, and they were basically stuck trying to figure out how to do that. If this was all just done through New York State and the local clerk's office wasn't available to help, there would have been no way for them to have recertified that permit. And so we were able to work with her and get through that. You know, that's why I would prefer to keep it here locally like that. And, you know, most county clerks are handling it that way. Our office made a decision a long time ago that, you know, there's two ways to handle this process. One is to either just hand it out, you know, let the state police do it, refer everybody to their hotline and just throw our hands up and say it's not our problem. Or we can dive into it and start working with our residents and do that. I don't know what would have happened if we did it the other way, because, like I said, our lines are through the door. We've had, in just the last couple weeks, well over 1,000 applications for new plastic card permits, looking for more information because, you know, you have these old permits, Evan. You talk about individuals who have done nothing wrong. You know, if you got a permit back in the 70s, there are these old paper permits. I don't know if you've seen one, but they sit in your wallet and they start to deteriorate. Well, now that you have to go online and recertify, one of the things you need is your issue number, or your issue date and your carry number, which are right on the corner of the page. If it's frayed and you can't read that number, you only have one place to go. It's the county clerk's office. And you have to figure out, working with them, what is your carry number? What is your issue date? We've dealt with thousands of those requests in just the last few weeks.
This is getting to be a little bit like a billboard for your office, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. I mean, I can't even tell you like how hard our staff has been working. And that's why we've even added hours.
I'm starting to get sick. I have to cut you off. But I want, because we're out of time, one more time. The web, if you want to recertify online, which is probably the easiest way to do it, Adam, do it where?
You go to troopers.ny.gov.
Okay.
And there's also a hotline, if I'll say real quick. If you call 1-855-LAW-GUNS, 1-855-LAW-GUNS, that's also the state troopers hotline. You can check your recertification status and get questions there. But I would encourage you, if you have questions, you're pumping against the deadline, just come down to our office. You're likely to see me. You'll talk to one of our clerks and we'll help you through it.
That's Adam Bella, Monroe County Clerk. 20 seconds, Don Smith from Scope. Go ahead, 20 seconds.
Yeah, I'd like to ask folks to go out to our website, scopenewyork.org. You will see on there an example of an 8-minute video produced by a so-called victim who fell or was tripped up, shall we say, by the STAFE Act and lost his due process. And I think folks need to realize that.
ScopeNY.org.
ScopeNY, all one word, .org.
Don Smith, a board member. Thanks for being here, Don. I appreciate your time today. More connections coming up.